Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What we're doing is we're targeting the worst first, right? That's who we're getting. We're focusing on those targets. We're not targeting people in schools. We're not targeting people in churches. We're targeting people who are the worst. There's a chance they're going to go to some of those places, and this administration has kind of taken some of the handcuffs off of us in a way, right? We're leaving the discretion with our officers, and our officers are trained to make good decisions out there, and we support them. And that's the one thing that we have to realize. These officers now, when we could have arrested somebody at a safe facility, right, a jail or a core lockup with one or two officers, and now we have to go out into the streets. Now most of our teams are at least 10 agents and officers trying to arrest one individual.
So there is Sam Olson. He's an ICE Chicago field office director talking about getting to the worst first, which is how he put it. I heard Tom Homan on another interview. I can't remember who it was with, but he was talking about He was being asked, like, are you going to be going into schools? And he goes, I think he was talking about, it was either MS-13 or Tren de Aragua, the two different types of very vicious gangs that we've heard about that have tried to work their way into our country, push drugs, human trafficking, and all that terrible, terrible stuff. And he goes, a ton of the members of those gangs are between 14 and 17. Should they be safe in schools with your children? And I went, oh, like that's kind of sickening to think about, that your youth does not protect you from bad decisions. And if those bad decisions have been so left unchecked for so long, if you're thinking about the presence, why wouldn't they be in schools?
It's also such a stupid question, because the question is based on, will you give us images we can use that will make you look bad? That's
that
what
they think will make them look bad.
Yeah, that's what they're asking for, and that's what they're waiting for right now. So that's one of the great things about having, we talked about this yesterday with Dr. Phil out there, and the PR press that they're doing, that they're taking cameras, they're embedding people with them to show them what they're actually doing, putting it out there for you to see, because they know that people are just anxiously, the media, the mainstream media, is chomping at the bit, waiting for that one image that they can run with forever and say, this is what you voted for.
The YouTube live chat poll for today on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry, you can quickly see that we are broadcasting live there, and you'll also be able to see the poll, which is located in today's live broadcasts. Live chat. We're asking if you approve of Trump's deportation plan as it is being carried out. And, you know, I think somebody said in the comments that, like, oh, this is going to be a super lopsided poll. And I'm curious of our audience, you know, if it's lopsided 70-30, I might be surprised that 30% of our audience doesn't like what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also very interested in that capacity of how many people that don't like what they're seeing right now aren't understanding it. Selena Gomez, very upset yesterday about it. I don't think she understands it. Selena Gomez isn't the enemy. She's cursed with a phone and a public profile, and she did something I think she regrets. People need to understand exactly what has developed here, and enough people understood that during the election to vote for what we're seeing right now. And there were people telling you ahead of time, years ahead of time, what this was going to look like when Joe Biden's administration came into office and This is Jim Carafano from January 25th, 2021.
Well, you know, they're solving a problem, and this is kind of unsolving a problem, right? So we'd gotten the border under control. We had tremendous relationships with Central America and Mexico because all these illegal migration flows and the money that those migrations flow, fuel of the cartels, the disruption of everything else, the health issues, they're bad for those countries too. So they were happy to get this under control. Essentially, the Biden team came in and said, they're going to policies which are essentially open border policies, and that just created a new stampede for the border. That creates problems for all those countries. They're trying to deal with them, so it angers them. Definitely creates problems for us. What are we going to do when all these people get here? You have the public health concerns. You already have massive unemployment, and you're going to flood the country with more workers when you have massive unemployment. And again, it just amnesty and open border policies just encourage more illegal immigration. And you know, there's no good solution to this other than having a responsible control of your borders. And we saw the benefit of that. And again, it's another policy that's very pleasing to progressive leftists who somehow are enamored with open border policies. So it's a tick mark for them. But actually, on balance, it's bad for all Americans.
Well, and Jim Carafano told us that 4 years ago after the Biden administration did what they did to open these borders up. And now it's time to pay the piper. And the leftists don't like what they're seeing right now either. I know you have very limited time. Jim Carafano back with us on the Annie Frye Show, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson fellow for international engagement at the Heritage Foundation. But Jim, we dug that up. That's one of many conversations we had where you told us exactly what was going to happen. And here we are having to clean up the mess. And Donald Trump is effectively doing it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that guy sounded really smart.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, I think there's two dynamics going on here. One is very clearly we see an enormous amount of support for the president's policies, doing exactly what the American voter wanted. The other thing I think we see is the self-emulation of the left. By doubling down on attacking the president as being mean and this is wrong, I think what they are further doing is marginalizing and distancing themselves from the American people. And they are accelerating the movement of this country to a solid right electorate that basically wants policies that just have good common sense.
Yeah. And I mean, the Selena Gomez video, we played it yesterday. I kind of feel sorry for her. I think she's incredibly misinformed. I don't know why people get super sad and then think that they need to show that to the world. But Selena did. She took it down. What do you say to those people right now who, like she was saying, like they're taking the children. They're just people like me. Like they don't realize the worst first, which is the current policy of this administration. There are people who just don't understand exactly what's happening. They've been lied to for a really long time.
Well, I honestly think it's shameless. Anybody who wants to speak out on this issue should look at what's going on with illegal migration and see that that is the single greatest human tragedy. The greatest sufferers of illegal migrations are illegal migrants. I mean, from rape and murder to sexual exploitation to the harm that they subject to, it's completely horrific. And you can't, in all honesty, unless you ignore reality, say somehow that you're sympathetic to this. But the one thing that is absolutely going to happen here is Americans, they see a different America. They don't see this as long as I care. It doesn't matter if people suffer. Americans are focused on common sense outcomes. Make a better world. Make suffering go away. Allow people should have the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of their own labor. Respect the law. Americans want this. And just brushing that aside and saying, no, I care for suffering people and I'm Mother Teresa, that honestly just doesn't cut it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Jim Carafano speaking with us. Last question before we let you go. We've seen Tom Homan himself out there with these agencies as they are going specifically surgically into these communities. This would, I would assume, be a first wave. What do you anticipate after they're able to make a huge, huge dent in the active criminals that exist in our country? What's that going to look like to the American voter and taxpayer?
Well, I think it's going to accelerate. I mean, the more people they deport, I think the more The more operations are going to ramp up, the more border security there's going to be, the more cooperation there's going to be from other things. And people say, well, you can't deport 11 million. Well, the reality is the humane thing is honestly for people to self-deport. Because rather than sit around in the grocery store and wait for the ICE agent to come in and grab you, and then you never see your family again, you don't have access to your bank account, you don't have access to your employees, and you're sent to another country, the smart answer is get your affairs in order, and if you're not here legally, and leave the country. And you can't say, well, they can't do this. But you know what? They got here. And it's a lot safer to get on a plane and fly home than it is to risk your life with a human trafficker to come here. So I think a lot of people are going to make the smart decision and self-deport. And I think we've actually already started to see that. And the people who were going to risk their lives and doing really stupid things and trying to come here illegally, I think they're going to make the smart choice and stay home.
Jim Carafano, thank you for always sharing your wisdom with us. We have years of archives of Jim Carafano wisdom, and we like to go back and listen to it. So thanks for continuing to add
thanks,
to it.
Buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano is a senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation on X at JJ Carafano. It's crazy to go back and listen to some of these conversations we had with Jim Carafano. Actually, I'm going to say it's crazy and it's duh. Like what he was saying 4 years ago after Joe Biden got in office and then did what he said he was going to do, I guess, to credit Joe Biden for campaigning and standing on that primary stage and telling people that, you know, shaming Americans for suggesting like, this is America. We want people to come here, come, and welcoming them in when he becomes a president and undoes all of Donald Trump's border policies. It's not shocking, but it is painful, which in the converse is what people on the left are feeling right now. But at what cost?
It was just surprising because Jim Carafano so early said this is going to be a major issue because we didn't know how it would be an issue. We knew that Joe Biden ran on President Trump has really messed up on this border thing. He's a xenophobe.
Well, the border wall was racist.
Yes.
Like the existence of a barrier, you know, like the one that exists around the White House that he would live in or the estates that Joe Biden has, that is a racist behavior to keep people out.
But we didn't know that he was going to make the border non-existent. And it was immediate. Jim Carafano starts quoting numbers. He goes, well, if this stays this way at this number for this amount of months, then you're going to have X amount of millions of extra people in here who are here illegally. And we were just like, oh, that is that even a possibility?
I feel like what Joe Biden did was worst case scenario of what voters should have expected when they elected him. I don't think it was off the table. I think Jim Carafano was the one person who I heard regularly and very confidently saying it is going to be this bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you were looking at what Donald Trump was doing, and I mean, the thing that really, really chafes me about all of this is the hypocrisy of how the Democrat controlled areas in our country, states under COVID federally under Joe Biden, but then that rescinded a little bit earlier than like J.B. Pritzker did to his subjects in the state of Illinois, how restrictive they were, how controlling and regulating they were to your life because of COVID, but not the border. You want to make people carry cards to say what sort of vaccinations that they've had in order to enter different places, but you don't want to have people show an identification to go vote in this country to just prove that you're a citizen, that you're qualified to vote. And then your explanation on that is that it's racist to ask black people to get licenses. How patronizingly racist is that statement? Who's that guy I always ask you? You always know the guy in New York City who went around and was asking people about... He was going up to black people.
Ami Horowitz,
yes. If you haven't seen it, go find it on the internet. It is hilarious, but also really, really sad. Because Ami Horowitz is going up to black people. I think it's in New York City and being like, what do you think about showing an ID to vote? And they're like, I could see how that would make sense. And he's like, well, you're black. Do you have an ID? And they're like, yeah, I have an ID. like, why wouldn't I? And he goes, if you didn't have an ID, would you know where to get it? And then this dude gives the address to the DMV.
Yeah.
The address, the street address to the DMV. And people are, Ami is like, you know, there are some people who are saying we shouldn't have voter ID because it might be difficult for black people to attain licenses. And a lot of times they don't say anything. They just like step back and look at them like, what did you just say to me?
Yeah.
And it's like, I know. That's racist. We have to show our vaccination cards. You had to submit a vaccination card to go to a sporting event. Whether it was real or not, they just went and did the song and dance so that you could get in and they could say they did their due diligence. We had to do that during COVID, but we don't have to show ID to vote. You don't have to have any sort of trail, paper trail, place to go or anything. When you come into this country, they reconfigured all of the different rules and regulations so that you could come openly into the country through a port of entry and still just get shuffled to the front. The idea of border control for the Biden administration was to streamline the process of getting people into the country, not to stop people from getting into the country. And it got so out of control that Kamala Harris, of all people, was campaigning for president about building the wall. That's how bad it got. And now Donald Trump has to clean up the nasty, ugly mess that was created by the Biden administration, breaking up families. I see people sharing things in my own personal social media, and it makes me sad that people are experiencing this on a close level, that they have friends and family who are living in fear. I'm very sad that the Joe Biden administration lied to you. It breaks my heart, and I hope that they shovel all of that anger and frustration where it matters. They won't. But we have to have our eyes wide open as to what is really taking place here. And when you're watching ICE go into these places and rip out the riffraff, the losers that have been sent here that have committed heavy crimes, we're talking about rape of underage children. I mean, like, these are the grossest of the gross people. I said this yesterday on the show. Take our bad people and ship them to the countries where they've freely sent us their bad guys. Send our bad people to all of these countries. And last night, Donald Trump was saying, like, I'm thinking about deporting our criminals.
Wow, he's listening.
I know. It's like totally it. Yeah.
You know what else is really disgusting before we move on? Is the Biden administration.
Set it up good because we have Fred Bottomer.
Whoever. Yeah, Fred's going to be
of
in.
Fame.
Palate cleanser. When the Biden administration was doing this, whoever was actually pulling the strings, whoever that was, they knew that allowing this amount of people in, they knew, oh, this is going to be hard for somebody to undo. You know why? Because it'll be bad imagery. They were banking on
just
you
politics.
Listening yeah. right now, if you're a Democrat, getting online and complaining that it looks bad. They are playing you ahead of time, and they did this knowing you'd do that.
Sure, because when you say, like, you're okay, you see a problem, you're trying to solve it, and to you and to me, it looks absolutely outrageous. Like, what problem is this solving? They're not trying to solve the problem that you and I see. They know it exists, but they, again, have created a whole brand new problem that they are offering the solution to. And the problem is Republicans. And their answer is always more Democrats. And the American people saw through it in November of 2024. Thank the Lord Almighty that we are on this side of that election and that we are watching the extraction of the worst people who have found their way into our country because Joe Biden invited them. Full stop. All right, Fred, are you ready for this?
Callot cleanser.
Nope, not
Callot cleanser.
Not ready at all. Callot cleanser. Is that on his Hall of Fame trophies?
It's on his shirt.
Have you ever seen the Fred Bottomer wall of trophies and awards?
Oh my gosh, no. Where's this?
It's going to go in your office.
Oh, I was afraid of that.
No. Fred Bottomer, of course, the producer for the Mark Reardon Show. Wonderful, wonderful co-worker of ours, but also fellow Lutheran. And we are this week working towards our goal of a $15,000 mark to raise funds to establish a Lutheran education scholarship. This will provide annually, I believe, if we get to the 15 mark, two scholarships a year for kids in the area to be able to attend Lutheran schools. It is an honor to be a part of this, and we are working very hard to reach that $15,000 mark. Initially, I think they told us that our goal was going to be $5,000. And when I'm looking right now, we are just over $4,000 raised on the week. So $15,000, that's way out there. But I want to make sure that we push our way through this week and do everything we can. If you've got $25 to spare, $50 to spare, it will go to help a kid accessed a Lutheran education here in our area, and I would love for you to be a part of it. We're going to talk to Fred Bottomer about Lutheran education, our fellow Lutheranism, probably some other things that matter as well, next on the Annie Fry Show. Don't go away.
This is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Well, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's 1:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. I guess it's 1:31. I should be specific.
It's 1:31. This time check is sponsored by...
No, sorry. That's not what it is.
Sorry about that.
We've got Fred Bottomer in the studio with us. Fred,
hey there.
Thanks for giving us some of your time in the afternoon.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoy it.
The executive producer of the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1. How long have you produced for Mark Reardon?
Ever since he got to St. Louis. So like maybe 14, 15 years now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a long time.
Yeah.
In radio.
I've been his only producer, I think.
You've been his only producer. Though that's very cool.
He's monogamous.
Okay. Fred is in here because I realized, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago, that you two are Lutheran. So Fred and I share that Lutheran faith together. But also, even more important, Lutheran education and an affinity for it were products of Lutheran education. And we are this week trying to push towards that $15,000 goal that will establish a scholarship in the Annie Fry Show community name for local kids to be able to access a Lutheran education. I went to the Lutheran grade school in Edwardsville, went to the Lutheran high school in Edwardsville. I send my kids to Lutheran schools. I'm incredibly passionate about other kids being able to have that opportunity. And Fred, you went to a Lutheran school as well.
Yeah, and I'm equally passionate, and for a really good reason. I grew up in a small Lutheran church called Our Redeemer in South City. And we didn't have a lot of money, but we had an arrangement with the bigger school nearby in our, you know, just 10 blocks away, Holy Cross Lutheran Church in South City. And they, you know, our church would pay for us to go to school.
Yeah.
There. So that's how I got to go through kindergarten through eighth grade at Holy Cross Lutheran School. But then when it came time to go to Lutheran High School South, that funding arrangement wasn't there. So I ended up going to Roosevelt Public High School. And so my Lutheran education, you know, ended there. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, I stayed with our church, obviously. Yeah. And then when my kids went, it was time for them to go to grade schools. I tried to find funding to get them to go to Green Park Lutheran School, which is real close to our house, but I couldn't find the funding for it. So they ended up going to public schools.
And this is, that's, you know, that's one of those stories that I want people to know about, even if you're not in a position to donate. If you're listening and you have been connected to Lutheran education, this is a really great opportunity in whatever means that you are blessed to be able to pay it forward. If you go to LESA, that's Lutheran Elementary School Association, lesastl.org/Annie, you can help contribute to making that opportunity that you didn't have access to for your kids. I mean, it's an expense. And when you have public education free, essentially, right, because your taxes are paying for it, you kind of have to be persuaded to make the sacrifice or to, and sometimes it's just not doable. These scholarships make that possible for other people. And I would assume, can I ask how old your kids are?
Oh, yeah, they're 25 and 27.
I think the public education system 25 and 27 years ago was a little bit different than it is right now. There's been a little bit of a progression in what the public system education right. system has to offer. And a lot of people are seeking out alternative options, maybe even homeschool and stuff.
You know, I really, truly believe, you know, why I am here today, I think, has a lot to do almost totally, I mean, with my parents, with my faith, with my church, and with my early Lutheran education. By the time I got out of eighth grade, I was so well prepared for high school when I got into the public schools. It was amazing. And all the lessons that I've learned, all the respect I've had for elders, all have come through my Lutheran elementary school education.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about that preparation, certainly as a parent for my kids, I always say I want them to learn about Jesus every day. And I want them to know Jesus every day, even before they're learning math or English or grammar or history or whatever. I want it to be foundational to their existence. If they never pass another math class, but they get the Jesus part, for me as a parent, for my husband as a parent, that's the purpose. That's the intent of the whole thing. However, when you go to a Lutheran school, you are going to get a top-tier education as well.
Oh, yeah. It's totally that. And it was when I went, and I know it is still. And I think a lot of people that I know, kids in the neighborhood that go to Lutheran High School South and Green Park, they've got a lot of homework. They're really, really studying hard, and they're doing stuff that, you know, I think, man, could I have even done that in high school?
Fred, I did not go to Christian school growing up. I remember going to a Christian preschool. I kid you not. That's how far back I can remember. And I remember learning some scripture there. But after that, it was just Sundays for me. And that's if we went to church Sunday, you know.
Right.
So there wasn't anything throughout the week. And I, you know, I'm thankful for every bit of my life. So I don't look back and I'm like, oh, I wish I would have. But I send my kids to Christian school. And I just wonder what the difference is if you're every day you're in that environment versus like I was not, you know, I was just in a public school, what the difference would be.
Yeah, one of my fond memories of grade school in a Lutheran school was all the memory work we had to do.
Oh, yeah.
I was always memorizing Bible passages and things out of the small catechism.
And it sticks.
And it sticks. It still does. Just like songs that you learned or sang with 30 years ago, you still know the words.
I'm so glad you brought up the songs because I had a friend who had taken their children for whatever particular reason. They were in Lutheran schools and then they moved them out of Lutheran schools. Might have been monetary based. I don't know. I didn't ask. But then they put them back in Lutheran schools. They came back to the Lutheran school. And she told me, she said, Annie, I noticed when we were not in the Lutheran school anymore, the singing in my house stopped.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, like that cuts to my heart because these children who are in this Lutheran school, I mean, you're probably going to learn songs in early childhood or in, you know, the younger years. You're probably going to have some learning activities that involve singing and stuff. But the idea of music and praise and some of these songs that you take with you that you end up potentially singing to your children at some point or hoping that they learn. And it could be hymns. It could be song, you know, these other historical things that are incredibly important to a strong foundation. The music is a huge part of it.
Yeah, I fondly remember going to the Wednesday chapel sessions and hearing all the music, singing all the songs, being in the choirs. I totally remember that. It's such a good feeling.
Yeah, it is. Well, Fred, you know, it's wonderful. I assume Catholics feel the same way when they're around other Catholics or whatever. I'm a strong believer in of knowing Jesus and sharing Jesus, and there are labels that go around it. Lutheran schools educate kids of all different Christian denominations, people who may not even have a strong faith whatsoever. I don't know if you remember being around a lot of non-Lutherans when you were going to school. I certainly went to school with Catholics and Baptists and all different walks, but you would advise it for people to check it out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when I went to school, I can remember our school was so small that instantly, as one of the seven men or seven boys graduating from eighth grade, I was like great at every sport because there were no other choices.
Did you play sports at your Lutheran school?
Oh, every sport that was offered.
What was the Holy Cross mascot? Do you remember?
I don't think we actually had a mascot.
Just Holy Cross?
Yeah, we were the Holy Cross Rockets.
Rockets.
Oh,
so I guess it was a rocket.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What sports did you play?
Back then, we had softball. We had flag football. We had track and field. We had basketball.
That's
I think
awesome.
We didn't do soccer yet.
Yeah. The athletic opportunities, music opportunities, but certainly educational opportunities, they all exist still at Lutheran schools. And if you're interested in learning more about a Lutheran education for yourself, lesastl.org/Annie for your family. But if you were interested in donating and helping make this a possibility, like Fred was able to enjoy, like I was able to enjoy, please consider whatever you can afford at Lisa with an E, lesastl.org/Annie. All right, I'll let you get back to Mark.
Thank you, Annie.
Tell Mark,
enjoyed
thank you
it.
For sharing
thank you, guys.
You with us. We appreciate that. You can catch Mark Reardon's show here on 97.1 starting at 3 p.m. We hand the studio right over to them. Always great to listen to that on the way home as well. LisaSTL.org/Annie if you're interested in helping us meet our goal. At $15,000, they'll match an additional $10,000, and that's a pretty amazing opportunity for us to march towards. Please help us. We'll be right back. Time.
Yeah, it is.
Next time, would you be a little more prepared so you can do it at 12:45?
Well, if the new White House press secretary wouldn't have bumped me. I would have been right on time.
How rude of her.
Yeah. I know. We'll write a letter and we'll maybe go into the press room and actually ask that question.
Good thought.
Why do you do this at 12?
We talked about on Friday doing a poll of which Annie Fry Show member should we send to be in the White House press corps. Who would you want to see?
I would lobby heavily for that.
Who would you send? Who would you send?
Me.
Okay.
I would also send Ryan.
Yeah.
I said, I think it would be close between Ryan and me, and the more you listen to the show, the more likely you are to pick Ryan.
Yeah, I'd wave real hard every time, Carolyn, and I'd be like, hi. Is that a podium or a lectern?
No. A podium. That's exactly what you would say.
A podium instead of
might
a podium.
Might accidentally leave your name off.
That one really got you.
Whoops.
Podium. That's probably like discriminatory in some way.
Is that a podium? No, sir. This is a podium. All right.
And then of those two options, I'm going to go with lectern.
Furious scribbling in my notes. Like, oh, it's a podium. Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
Right. Very much.
Will you just go on behalf of the Mark Cox Show?
Yeah. Ryan Wiggins, Mark Cox Show.
If you're going to ask a good question, you put the Annie Fry Show shirt on. If you're asking about podiums, Mark Cox Morning Show here.
Is that a lectern?
Lectern.
What is that?
Just pronounce words wrong constantly, but make the question sound somewhat smart.
Oh, Gary Vood.
Gary Vood.
Kellett Plenser. What's the matter with you?
That's quite an hour.
It's been a day.
Hi, Gary Vood, Mark Cox Show.
Park Mux.
Careful. It's going to turn bad and we're not going to know it until it's too late.
Uh-oh. What just happened? As you're standing up there at the podium
every day. Does the dump button work? Do we even know?
Are you using a blinder? What are those called? All right. Anyway, this is Wiggins America.
Sheesh.
And what I have here is a news story. So this whole thing is based on a real news story out of Connecticut.
Anytime he prefaces this like multiple times with, this is real news.
Yeah.
You know
makes you
you're
question
in for,
the other ones.
You're in for something. Gary Vood.
Gary Vood, Annie Fry Show.
That's who you should be.
Gary Vood.
Gary Vood.
Gary Vood. Why is your tie so short? I got it at the discount store.
Half off.
it was half off. Man, these are good.
No, they're what? Not. No, they're
this
not.
Tie? Oh, it was half off. It comes down to my lower rib cage. Rib cage. I'm not even trying. Why is this happening? Stop it.
Because you're very mid. Keep going.
No, I'm not. I'm Gary Vood. All right. This is...
Mary Vid.
This is a real story out of Connecticut
that's
again.
That's the third time that he's reiterated that this is not
from
crap.
From State Senator Martin Looney.
Is that his actual name?
Yes, okay. It is. If he gets his way, moviegoers in Connecticut will be able to avoid all the preliminaries, the trailers, and all the ads, and arrive just in time for a film. He is proposing a bill that would require movie theaters to advertise both the scheduled start time for the movie and the advertisements so you know when the movie itself starts. And this article reads much differently if you put the in front of his name. The Looney has proposed a bill. So anyway, that's real news. I don't know if it'll actually become a law in Connecticut, but it had me wondering. Had me wondering.
Good night! What? I just occurred to me, I'm not listening to anything you're saying except for the words that don't make sense.
I can tell.
People are making donations. I need to help.
That's great. That's great. For every donation you make, very good. No, Gary Vood.
Gary Vood. You messed up the mess up.
Yeah. Maybe that's the trick.
Or did I? I really don't know anymore. These are 11. Who cares? The setup doesn't matter. All anybody's going to remember is me in the White House press room
and that
calling
these,
myself
and that these are
Gary
real
Vood.
Stories.
These are 11 rules everyone should follow in movie theaters.
Oh my God.
Man, we worked hard for this one. Keep going.
We got there. It only took
Don't
5 minutes.
Don't stop now.
5 minutes of setup.
People are on the edge of their seats.
That's one of the things you shouldn't do.
Oh.
It says, put your butt all the way in it.
Mm.
That's what it says. This is from Reader's Digest. Movie theater etiquette. Number one. Arrive on time? I want to know
what
if
is
you guys.
On time?
Well, that's the question: is are you arriving during the trailers? Is that okay? Are you arriving before they all start?
How much time between movie start? Movie starts at 7 p.m. That's the time on the list. You book the 7 p.m. show. What time is the movie starting?
7:20.
I was gonna say 7:25 at the latest, but definitely 20 minutes of.
Yeah.
Commercials and previews.
I'm arriving somewhere in between there. I'm never there right at 7, but I know that I have a little bit of that buffer time. So, you know, somewhere around probably 7:10 I'm showing up, I would say.
And that's fine. I think because once the movie starts is when it becomes a problem.
Correct.
If you're shuffling in front of people or you can't find a seat because it's very full.
Right.
And you're trying to figure that out during the movie, then it's a problem.
I only go to the movies anymore when you can reserve your seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know that there's a good chance it's going to be full, then I think you have a greater responsibility to get there closer to on time, though. I feel like I don't see a lot of, like...
But on time is...
I would say, like, closer to, like, the start of even...
Whatever the showtime says.
Yes. The show itself.
Yes. If you know, if it's, like, an early release or it's only a couple days out or it's opening night, I mean, I'm getting there early to make sure, one, that I have a seat, but also that I'm being considerate of others.
The second one is share the armrest fairly. If you're sitting next to somebody that you don't know, I don't even use the armrest.
That's what I would say. If you're sitting next to somebody.
If you're what?
I stopped. I didn't. I only got the first two letters out, and I backtracked fast.
Usually in those situations,
really
there's
bold.
Not even an armrest.
Really bold.
There's usually a wall.
If that's happening, you leave.
If you're doing that next to somebody and you can see their face, I'd say just get out.
What is happening? Nothing.
Not just sitting next to somebody.
Stop
but,
it. I corrected myself. I did not Gary Voot it.
Dude, this is one for the best of.
No.
What the heck is happening?
No.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No.
Oh, Gary Voot.
Best of the worst.
It's great.
I think
great.
Tomorrow's theme should be Gary Voot Day.
Yeah.
I do too. What do you think he looks like? I think he has a mustache.
That's the question.
It's character day, I will add, here on the Andy Fry Show as we celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week. We will reveal our characters at the 2 p.m. hour.
Yeah,
some hints
huge
maybe,
reveal.
Maybe, some hints maybe already in the works.
Do you share the armrest real quick before we move on to that one?
With a stranger?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Do you even
no.
use it at all?
No. Well,
no.
Only if they're willing to hold hands.
I usually sit next to my wife when I go to the movies.
Well, what about the other seat?
Yeah. There's,
yeah.
We go.
It's not a two-person theater.
Like you, well, like you guys, we always get an aisle seat. If you
no, I don't get an aisle seat. I want the middle seat.
I want the seat on the end.
Well, but then your wife's going to have to share the armrest with somebody then.
But those ones that are reserved are usually two-seat.
Oh,
things,
you're talking,
and it's a double.
Not every theater has
armrest.
That, though.
Mine does.
Well, how about
you're
this
better
one?
Than us?
I tell you what, right now, this is one I got to deal with every single time. Be courteous if you're tall. If you're tall, it's important to be sensitive.
Because you're so short and you can't see above
no,
the tall people.
No, this is something that I just know. People are like, "Oh my gosh, this huge guy's in front of me, and I'm that guy."
huge.
Be
guy?
Sensitive. To the smaller folks around you.
Folks.
Always consider who you'll be potentially blocking. This is good advice, not just in a movie theater,
These
but in
church.
These are
all reminders as to why I don't go to movie theaters.
It means a lot to Ryan.
Mm-hmm. It means a lot when people are like,
stop.
Sir, you're too tall. And
stop
I'm like,
blocking
oh,
it.
Oh, stop.
Stop blocking
it's
it.
It's like IDing me for alcohol.
It's that ladder you stand on.
Sir, can you move your ladder? Oh, really? This old thing? Okay.
Didn't realize it was even here.
Silence your phone. This one seems pretty obvious in a movie theater.
That should be number one.
Make your bathroom trip as discreet as possible.
Dun, 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 dun.
Who doesn't?
Dun, 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 dun.
Mm-hmm. Well, Annie leaves like a spy when she has to go to the bathroom.
Nobody knows that.
Really?
Yeah, a wire comes down from the ceiling and she just floats up.
That's... You know, I can't decide if that's discreet or not.
It's very discreet if you're sitting in front of her, because you never see.
You don't have to hear, excuse
now,
me,
behind,
sorry, excuse me.
If you're sitting behind her, you're like, what the heck just happened?
Live action!
A woman just went to the 3D. Ceiling!
3D!
I sit in the back row.
But she tries to be nice. As she's going up, she goes, gotta pee!
Annie, that's so considerate
you're so
of you.
Weird.
How loud does she say it?
No, stop asking questions about this. Don't.
I'm entertained.
Pick up your garbage at the end, pick up your garbage.
Do people pick up their garbage?
I never do. I thought that was a standard thing.
I will pick up, if we go and the family is with us and you got kids and you got popcorn, there's popcorn on the floor. I'm not picking the popcorn up the floor.
Right.
But I will throw away our popcorn and our soda cups and stuff like that.
Well, that's fair.
Especially the things that we snuck in so that nobody knows.
Yeah.
We gotta be really secret about that,
too. We don't even serve chewy nerds. What are these doing here?
When you guys were little, did you ever get nervous at the thought of, like, what if they catch me? Or, like, even after, like, what if I get in trouble for this?
Yeah.
That was, I mean, like,
she still gets nervous.
What if they're going to catch me? What if they're going to come get me after I leave?
You charge me $100 to go see a bad Moana 2.
What if they ban me from the theater?
I'll pay you for this food, and you pay me back my money for the
movie. That would not be Gary Bush.
She's still, like, the teenagers walking through the aisles going, oh, well, you didn't bring that. You didn't get that here, did you? She's like, oh, my gosh, everybody hide.
You're like every cartoon teenager that's not a main character ever.
Quick, gotta pee.
Last one. Last one is don't chat about the movie in the lobby. This seems a bit extreme. I would say don't chat about
the
movie.
And then at the end where the guy, the lead, dies?
Oh, I guess that's why.
Well, we could do that, but like make stuff up. We could get at that.
People can you hang believe out in he the was lobby a vampire? Anymore. You're like, that's Pride and Prejudice.
We could get into fake, we get
what
into fake fights about things across the whole hall there and just spoil everything, and then people go in and then they're really surprised because it's not what happened. It's like charity.
That's true. This whole thing is a PSA for you to not talk during the movie, please.
I just got a notification that we have just received a $1,000 gift.
Woo!
To the scholarship fund. I might get a little more details on that soon. Thank you so much to the people and your generosity. If you want to help us, we'll talk more about it in 2 o'clock hour. Character reveal, Lisa, STL.org/Annie.
Hey, it's